have your Bible, turn with me over to Ephesians 6 and follow along as I read beginning at verse 5. Ephesians 6 and 5. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart, as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. And masters, do the same things to them and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather here together as a family and to worship. Thank you for the freedom that we enjoy here to be able to worship you in a way that we believe best reflects your word, certainly not in violation of it. I thank you for each one who chose to come this morning. We pray, Father, for those that are normally with us but can't be today. Bless them as you have and will bless us. We've all come this morning to hear from you, to hear what you have to say to us from your word, your authoritative, reliable, inerrant word. Our needs are as unique as we are. Our challenges are not all the same, but we've all come to hear from you. So quiet our hearts, help us to block out the distractions, and focus on your word. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When you meet someone new, how do you identify yourself? For guys, it's usually what we do. Engineer, farmer, electrician, teacher. Usually that's what we're asking. Gals, sometimes that can be a little tougher. Let me say right now, though, if any of you, especially you younger ones, thinking this way at all, never think of yourself as a housewife. You are not married. You will not be married to that house. Now, you may, in a Proverbs 31 way, manage the house well. Sure. But you are not a housewife. How do you identify yourself? What would be your Facebook profile? How does that start? Well, I would like to suggest to you that those of us who are in Christ Jesus, we have learned here from Ephesians 5 and 6 that our faith is to permeate all that we are, even on the job. So first, that Facebook profile, first in answer to that question, who are you? Well, first, I'm a child of God. And then if you are, I would hope it would be, and happily married too, and have the privilege of raising, and now watching maybe my grandchildren, and then finally, this is what I do to pay the bills. Everything else permeates everything that I do, starting with my faith. And we've seen that, right? It started with, in the church, we are to submit to, ask ourselves regularly the question, What can I do to help you? What need do you have that I can meet? Not, oh, by the way, could you please? Now, there are going to be times when we need to do that. But that should not characterize us. That should not be where we normally start. What can I do to help you in your walk with the Lord? What can I do in a very practical way this week to help you in your family, to encourage you? And that's an attitude that's supposed to permeate everything. And then he goes to the wives and says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And our culture kind of grates at that, but in context, it simply says, okay, wives, first in your mind, being a godly woman is, how can I meet your needs, husband? How can I help you in your walk with the Lord? Somebody in this relationship needs to be ultimately in charge. The Lord says that you. How can I help you? Because that's exactly who I am. You're incomplete without me, by the way. I'm here to help you. What can I do to help? And then to the husband, he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Love her to the point that she knows if it were to ever come down to it, you would trade your life in a heartbeat for hers. You would do whatever is necessary to protect her, to meet whatever need she has. And gentlemen, if you're doing that, she'll have no trouble submitting to you. She will trust you. She will know that you are honest and filled with integrity. Same then with children, your relationship with your parents, parents and your relationship with your children. Again, the question comes, how can I help you? And that changes as parents with children, how we respond to them and their needs. We looked at words like honor and obey and discipline and instruction. Remember that? Please go like this if you were here. Yeah, okay. Because that's important, understanding our relationship as it changes. But again, at the very core, at the foundation, it is even parents looking at those children and saying, what can I do to help you in your walk with the Lord? First of all, what can I do to set the table so that when the time comes, you will accept Jesus as Savior and Lord? And then having done that, what can I do to help you grow? Now, it should be no surprise then that if we've taken our faith into every other area of our life, that it should also demonstrate itself in the workplace. Now, I know some of you are going to say, well, I'm retired. And this doesn't apply to me. I've watched. And whether you will admit it or not, I know better. Because many of you, even in your retirement, have chosen to put yourself in a position where you are taking direction from others in helping. And others of you with certain expertise have put yourself into positions where you are encouraging and instructing and supervising others. So the principle still fits. It's still here. Whatever we're going to learn today, this should be a part of our lifelong attitude. We should not miss this or dismiss it because we think maybe it doesn't fit. Now, right away, right from the beginning, verses 5 through 8, I have chosen to call this our relationship, our responsibilities as Christian employees. Now, I know that's not what it says. It says slaves, and it says masters. And what we really like is Paul would start this discussion with, oh, by the way, slavery is immoral, so stop doing it. But he doesn't. There's enough in the Old Testament and the New Testament, if we read it carefully, to know that God hates slavery. Okay? Paul knows that, and his readers know that. But in the first century, in Rome, over half the population was in slavery, was enslaved. Half the population. And so, as men and women are coming to Christ, and they meet together, there are going to be churches just like ours, where there would be masters, and there would be slaves, there'd be freedmen, all together worshiping. They're in a culture that tells them they can treat one another one way, but their salvation tells them they must treat one another in a different way. Their faith is in contrast with their culture. There are things that are wrong with our culture. And we need to stand up and identify them as morally wrong and say so as a church. Not on our own authority, but on the authority of the Word of God. But as evil as slavery is, and I pray that one day our nation will understand that equally evil is the evil of abortion. But the last thing the church needs to do is take its focus off of evangelism and put it on slavery, take it off of evangelism and put it on abortion. Because if all we do is save the life of a baby, and now we have a mom and a baby going to hell, we have not done our job. So, our faith needs to permeate everything that we do so that they see in us not just a moral standard, as important as that is, but how we got there in terms of the gospel. So, as Christian employees, verse 5, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart. Do a good job. I had a supervisor who said, show up ready to work. Show up on time, ready to work. Now, in my mind, in my culture, in my background, that meant show up early and be ready to work. I worked with people that showing up on time meant 5 minutes late because you weren't docked until you were 6 minutes late. And ready to work meant your uniform on a hanger slung over your shoulder. Which was fine as long as you were called to service before you were in your uniform. And you know, I had the opportunity to witness. I had the opportunity to share my faith. I know this sounds like I'm sharing this to my credit. It's the example that I have. And I've seen you do it too. By showing up early, by showing up ready to work, there were times when I could step in early so that somebody else could go home on time instead of having to go home maybe an hour or so later because it really was their call to service, but because I could take it, they could go home on time. And do you know, there were some who thought that was exactly what Jesus would do? Now, there were others who just thought I was a goody two-shoes, and that happens, you know? But he says, be obedient continually, unconditionally. So again, on time, ready to work, ready to do your job, know your job, do it to the best of your ability. He says, with fear and trembling, knowing the consequences of disrespect, recognizing those in positions of authority over you and giving them the appropriate respect. And then he says, in sincerity of your heart. That being honest, working honestly without deception, that word sincerity could just as easily be translated genuine. And here's where this fits. In first century, if you were to go to a collectibles market, I have no idea if they have them or not, but if you were to go to a market, I know they had those, a market, and you saw a cup, a bowl you really like, one of the first things you would do with it is you would take it out from under the tent and you would take it out and hold it up to the sun. Because while they didn't have Gorilla Glue, they had really good wax. And they could cover the cracks and even repair breaks with wax. The word sincerity, or to be sincere, is the phrase without wax. It's whole. It's complete. It's the real thing. So he's saying, as employees, be honest, work without deception, be the real deal. Whatever it is you are, be the real thing. Make sure that what they see is what they get. Being honest with them. Secondly, right here at the end of verse 5 and then through verse 7, know who you're working for. The end of verse 5 says, as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill render service as to the Lord and not to men. I don't care what you do. Remember, Paul is talking to slaves who had very little to say about what they do. I don't care what it is you do. As you go through your day, you're responsible to think in terms, is this what Jesus would, am I doing this the way Jesus would have me do this? If I were wiring Jesus' house, would I wire it this way? If this were his white switch, would I include everything that you really should do to make it safe? If I were working on his pickup truck, would I make sure everything was tight and everything was done well? There's a place for asking that question. Know who you're working for. Know that at the end of the day, he's the one you need to please. And then thirdly, here, as employees, verse 8, knowing your reward doesn't come on payday. Verse 8 says, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. I knew my attitude. I knew what I was believing in my heart when I would step in and help others. Did they always know that? No. But that was okay because I knew my heart and I knew the one who truly knew my heart. because my will is not always right either. And he knew that, and I knew he knew that. But when you're doing your job to the best of your ability, and you're doing it as to Christ, thinking in terms of working for him, whatever it is you're doing, would he be pleased with the way I'm doing this? And then, not for a payday, but for that opportunity that one day I would get to see him and he would say, well done, good job. And you say, well, of course, you're a preacher. He wasn't addressing preachers when he said that. He was addressing all of us. That's what we look forward to, hearing those words. Well done. Well done, supervisor. Well done, whatever it is that you do. Engineer. I don't know why I couldn't think of that. And you know, I was even thinking about trains and still couldn't come up with it. Farmers, electricians, teachers, supervisors, whatever it is you do. It's not for that paycheck. Most of you know that. Many of you understand that. And this is where we got it. Now, Paul sums this up by turning to employers. He calls them masters, Christian employers, here in verse 9. He says, do the same things to them and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Do the same things and give up threatening. Now, we can understand that as a master, but you can understand that too as a supervisor or an owner of a company or, you know, whoever is in charge as an employer. First he says, do the same things, and then he says, give up threatening. I believe what he's saying is if you do the first three, you won't have to worry with the threatening. You be the boss your employees need, and you won't have to threaten them. What do they need? Well, they need to do a good job. And the only way they can do a good job is if they know what their job is. Make sure everybody's got a good job description, and make sure everybody knows at the end of the day how to get an attaboy to know that, yeah, I'm doing a good job. This is what's expected of me, and this is what I'm doing. Make sure they know. Don't keep moving the rules. Don't keep moving the goalposts. Make sure those people who are working for you know what is expected of you so that they can do it. You do a good job, so they can do a good job. Know who you answer to. And it's not a board of directors. It's to Christ. You're a godly employer. That's who you're going to answer to. Were you fair? Did you treat them honestly? And then finally, understanding that it's not all about the bottom line. Do you have to pay the bills? Sure. Finances, they're an important part of your business, whatever it is. But it's not all about the bottom line. Again, it's about hearing as an employer. Well done. You did a good job. And you know that, says here in the last part of verse 9, knowing that their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. You see, we hear this, and it's kind of like, well, yeah, of course. But try and think of what this would have sounded like in first century Rome. At the foot of the cross, at the front door of the church, stands slave free, male, female, black, white. It doesn't matter. There is no partiality with him. And if that is true, if at the foot of the cross you were welcome, at the foot of the cross, no one asked, employee or employer, male or female, person of color, no. Do you know you're a sinner? Do you know that he died for you? Welcome. There is no partiality. So there is no place for partiality in the church. And there is no place for partiality in the heart of a Christian employer, and to the extent that it could fit, a Christian employee. This is Paul's final illustration of the principle of spirit-produced mutual submission. What we're talking about here, we're within a family, everybody's asking, what can I do for you? How can I help you? When we're talking about wives, submit to your husbands, husbands, love your wives, children, honor and obey your parents. Parents, don't exasperate your children. Employees, work as servants of Christ. Employers, employ as servants of Christ. Where does that come from? Certainly doesn't come from our culture. It comes from within, a heart that has been changed, a heart that's been forgiven, a life that is spirit-driven. Spirit-produced mutual submission. In every aspect of human life, God's plan is one of authority and submission. To avoid chaos, some must lead and some must follow. Whether it's husbands and wives, parents and children, employers or employees. While we understand that concept, don't forget the words mutual, stewardship. We're following God's principles. And they should all lead us to serve first God and then one another. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. And Father, I pray that you shed a little light, make it a little easier to make the appropriate application. Again, we all come at this from different directions. Most of us have spent some time as employees. Some of us have spent some time supervising. Others have actually been employers and owners of businesses. So we all fit in here somewhere. But the principle is still the same. To do what we do as unto our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. So that our faith permeates the workplace. And in doing that, being a part of what your Holy Spirit can use to draw others to himself. May this just be a part of our growing and understanding what our responsibility is. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.